You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Another weekend, another Premier League weekend. Dave Kellner, Derek McGovern, Tom Kerwin with you. And we're going to get stuck into all 10 games in due course. And we've got a game on Friday night as well. Friday night football with West Ham versus Spurs. Friday night, also known as tonight, Derek. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How's things with you?
I'm very well, thank you. Did you enjoy the Champions League, Europa League this week, Derek? You see any
Not
of it?
Really, no. I did. I mean, it was a good performance by Real Madrid, but Atletico Madrid was so poor, and then Monaco and the next night were even poorer. It was just like two non-events, the two semi-finals. I hope the final lives up to its billing, but it's not exactly a hard act to follow, those two semis.
I suppose we've got what many neutrals wanted, Tom, with the likelihood that Real Madrid and Juventus are going to meet in that final.
Yeah, and I was a bit disappointed by the Monaco-Juve game because it was kind of built up as, you know, probably Europe's best defence against, as I say, arguably Europe's best attack sort of over the course of this season. So, yeah, a little bit disappointing. But the one thing I must say when I watched the Champions League and I watched the last round of games, our best sides are way off. I mean, way off the best sides in the Champions League. I mean, you know, I know it's been talked about, but you know, the Premier League's decline in Europe is it's been pretty alarming, I think, the last sort of 4 or 5 years.
Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi, Derek?
That's the world's silliest question. Lionel Messi by a landslide. I mean, you know, Ronaldo goes 3 goals, and you can't knock his goal scoring record, right? But the following night, Higuain was nearly on a hat-trick, right? Would they have given him the same billing? Because he had a mate as well, but nearly scored 3 goals. I didn't see Ronaldo do anything but score those 3 goals. I hate it when somebody gets a hat-trick and automatically is lowered to the sky as named man of the match because he got a hat-trick. And I'll give you another example. Theo Walcott against Croatia, remember that night when he scored a hat-trick for England? He absolutely stunk the place out. Got man of the match because he scored 3 goals. I hate it. Hate it.
You hate goal scorers, Derek. That's what I'm coming to realise. You don't like goal scorers, do you?
You've got to do a lot more than score goals. I said this. I'm 20 years ahead of my time. I said this 20 years ago. And only now, you know, only because Pep Guardiola says the same thing now, is it being regarded as the truth.
Do you agree, Tom? Landslide?
What,
Messi? Lionel Messi over Cristiano Ronaldo?
I must have had this conversation. Well, everyone's had this conversation so many times.
But it's been brought up again, hasn't it?
It has. And a mate of mine probably put it the best, really, where he said, Messi, Ronaldo, Messi. And I said, why? Why exactly that? He goes, because I'd trust him with my girlfriend. That was basically the response to that. And I know exactly what he means. So, yeah, Messi all day long.
West Ham versus Spurs kickstart the weekend, and West Ham are 7-1 to win the game. The draw 4-1. Tottenham are 2-5. Enhanced odds: Tottenham to win both halves was 15-8. That's been enhanced to 9-4. And Harry Kane and Dele Alli both to score was 11-4. That's been enhanced to 7-2. Lots of enhanced odds offers on the William Hill website. And if you're looking for a goal scorer, Tom, Harry Kane has 5-4 against the Hammers. So Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win was even money. That's been enhanced to 6-5. He scored a couple of braces against West Ham in his last 4 starts against their London rivals as well. And he's now got 18 in his last 20 Premier League appearances against opponents that are based in London as well. And Spurs, obviously, firing on all cylinders right now, Tom. 9 straight wins in the Premier League.
Yeah, and I think what's taken Spurs to a different level this year is the goals that they're scoring. You know, defensively they're still pretty tight. I think in that run they've scored 25 goals and have only conceded 4. And it's the different ways that Tottenham are winning games that's really impressed me. You know, Chelsea have, you know, they're a little bit more one-dimensional, I feel, but Tottenham have a few layers to their game. When they need to grind it out, they can do, like they had to do at Palace. It was a 1-0, it was a late goal, but they get the job done. And when they've been at home against vulnerable opposition, they have turned it on with style. And I think even though this is away from home, they will feel that West Ham are very vulnerable. I mean, two goalless draws for them of late. They've lost five of the last nine games at home. They've conceded a bagload of goals as well in that run. And the thing is, I think when you're lining up against West Ham at the moment, you just don't see many serious threats in their team. You know, they can be a functional side, but they're a long, long way short of what they were last year. And it's been a miserable campaign for them. And I think Tottenham will pile on the misery. Look, it looks almost impossible for Tottenham to catch Chelsea. The way Chelsea responded last week, I thought was exceptional. But, you know, the fact that they're playing, of course, ahead of Chelsea, they can put the pressure on once again. I'm looking at a few bets here. I'm looking at the way Tottenham have been winning games away from home, but also the games that they have won this season. Two-thirds of their Premier League games this season, they have won by two goals or more. And I think they'll be in line for a pretty handsome victory here. Minus a goal here is 10 to 11, which might be a bit skinny for some people, but a minus two at 5-2, I think Tottenham will run right. And as for a goal scorer, you know, Dele Alli's goal scoring record away from home is pretty exceptional. 8 in 15 away matches this season, 11-2 any time, 4-1 to open the scoring. But I'm looking at Tottenham here to clear a two goal margin at 5-2.
5-2, Tottenham minus 2 for Tom. They are finishing the season with a little bit of a whimper. West Ham, last three games have ended all square, and the last two against Everton and Stoke, Derek, have finished 0-0.
Yeah. I mean, they probably deserve to win that one against Everton. But that bears out what Tom said. They don't look a threat. Andy Carroll's still injured, the bovine ponytail. Michael Antonio, the biggest threat after him, he's out as well. You can't see where the goal's coming from. And those two 0-0 draws against Everton and Stoke were pretty much, you know, what you'd have expected. You know, West Ham, when you look at them, you think 7-1, that's absolutely massive. But they won't be carrying a penny of my money because they're the highest placed team in the Premier League, West Ham, who've got a worse home record. Who've lost more matches at home than they've won. I mean, that takes some doing that. And they're just not at home. And Tottenham, they've been incredible. You look how they finished last season. 2 points from their last four games, I think they got. They crumbled when the pressure was out of tight. Not this time around. 9 straight wins at the business end of the league when teams are either fighting for their life or to get into Europe or whatever. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. They haven't conceded a goal in their last four. I don't think they'll go to West Ham and win in a cakewalk. I'm looking at the kind of game they put up against Crystal Palace a couple of matches ago when they won 1-0. That'll do them. You don't have to go and win 3-0, 4-0. You know, just get the 3 points, keep the pressure on Chelsea. So I'm going to go here. Instead of backing Tottenham at 2-5, because instinctively, after a million years as a punter, backing them at those kind of prices away from home still makes me feel queasy. But you can back Tottenham to win and under 2.5 goals in the game. And that's almost 3-1. That looks a big price to me, that.
Tottenham to win to nil, by the way, as well. That's 11-8 here with William Hill, if you fancy that. As things stand, Derek, do you think Spurs are the likeliest title winners next season? I know there's a lot of water to pass under the bridge yet.
Yeah, I do. I think what they've done in this season, in turning round, you know, they were the nearly men last year, and then when the going got tough, they just got going home. What Pochettino has done to turn them around in that one season is incredible. And yeah, they are. They probably won't win the title now. Chelsea got an easy run in now. But I'll be back in them next season. In fact, I wonder whether they'll be favourites next season. That's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they still might be third or fourth favourites if Manchester United and Manchester City invest in the summer.
No, well, let's just say when the season ends.
Right, okay.
There's no way Man United will be shorter than the Betton and Tottenham when this season ends. Mm. And if they are, well, I'm on a way with your odds compilers.
Man City versus Crystal Palace is next, 12:30 on Saturday afternoon. Manchester City 1-4 to win the match. The draw 5-1 with Palace in the betting at 10-1. Enhanced odds, Leroy Sané to score and Man City to win was 6-5, enhanced to 11-8. And Christian Benteke to score and Crystal Palace to win was 12-1. That's been enhanced to 14-1, and City have found it quite difficult to get over that disappointment of the FA Cup loss against Arsenal. They followed that with a goalless draw against Manchester United. And then last week, Derek, a surprising draw with Middlesbrough when Gabriel Jesus equalised late on to rescue the point. Palace were on that incredible run that's been halted with defeats at home against Spurs and Burnley. But interesting match this with City so short at 1-4.
Yeah, and Palace, you know, they go to teams like this with no fear. I mean, in recent weeks, they've beaten Arsenal, they've beaten Liverpool, they've beaten Chelsea. And they're meeting the Manchester City side, who are the great unpredictables. I mean, right, all of a sudden, their top four place is really in danger, Manchester City. And who would have thought that? I mean, if Guardiola manages a team that finishes fifth in the Premier League, an absolutely diabolical Premier League, you've got to question whether all that praise that's been showered on him for winning titles with Bayern Munich and Barcelona, which you or I could have done. Well, was that misplaced? Certainly, on the evidence so far of what he's done at City, yes. You can't back him with any kind of confidence, City, these days. They don't win enough games, and at 1-4, you might think, well, Palace, those two recent results suggest Palace have given up for the season, but they could still be looking over their shoulder slightly, couldn't they, Palace? I mean, it's not all done and dusted yet at the bottom end. I'm going to go for Palace with a goal starter. I need to be against City. They're just not giving me any confidence whatsoever. There's something not quite right at City. The body language of the manager, the body language of the players, the results they're getting, they're no team you want to be backing at 1-4 these days. Well, Palace always score goals, don't they? Well, apart from the last two matches. their strength is going forward.
Yep.
Defensively, they're all at sea at the moment. There's a number of players missing, so you're pretty much sure City are going to score. But I think Palace will score too. Most teams do against that City defence. I'm going to go for Palace with a goal start.
Palace plus one is 11-4. If you want to be slightly more cautious, Palace plus two is still odds against here. That's 21-20. Palace two goals in the game. Just to extend on something David mentioned there as well, Tom, Palace could become only the fourth team to win away at each of Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester City in a Premier League season. So they have performed away from home against big guns this season. And you look at the last 10 Premier League games as well, Palace have picked up more points than Manchester City. They've got 19 in their last 10 games, whereas City have only picked up 17 points in their last 10 Premier League games.
And what does that say to everybody who loves Pep Guardiola when Big Sam has managed to do exactly that? I mean, you know, I've been really impressed with what Palace have done. I think what Sam Allardyce has done effectively is kind of, you know, I think he's shaken a few egos down at Palace, because let's not forget, they're one of the biggest spending teams in sort of that bottom half of the table, that middle third, especially with some of the names they've got. You know, they've bought players with so-called proven Premier League pedigree, and they've splashed the cash, and I think he's shaken up a few, and I think, you know, he's getting quite a good, you know, very good performances out of them, and especially against those bigger teams. I think that's the makeup of that Palace team. You know, I think it's a Palace team that I think quite fancy themselves. You know, the players like Zaha and Puncheon and Andros Townsend, Benteke even. I think they're quite fancy it on the big stage. I'm not so sure over the course of a season, as they've proved over all this campaign, whether they're up to it in terms of actually doing anything in the league. But this is a match that I think is a little bit tricky to call because of exactly the reason you pointed out there. Palace are in better form. But Man City at home, you know, are strong enough that they don't get beat very often. But they've only won 5 of the last 13 Premier League matches at home. And the Etihad is far from a fortress as it was, you know, a few years ago under Roberto Mancini. I mean, no one went there and got a result. And actually, you were quite thankful if you kept the scoreline down. You know, if you lost by one or two, I think you thought that was a decent away performance. And that's something that Man City haven't managed to do. Only two of those victories have been by a two-goal margin. And they're not fluent going forward. They still don't have a sort of settled back four. And this could end up being a bit of a disastrous season for Man City, particularly after going out in the FA Cup. So, you know, I'm looking at Palace, who obviously lost to Burnley, but it'll be a different kind of Palace performance from them. They've won 4 of the last 6 away games. I think this is a really, really hard one to call. I would expect some goals. I don't think you can go wrong sort of looking at the over 2.5, but the problem is it's short at 1-3. So I'm going to bat Man City to get over the line against a Palace side that I still think, I don't know whether there's another big performance left in them, and they'd still need a big performance to win this game. So I'm going to take Man City here to win by a goal at 100-30 on the handicap tie. Both teams to score as well is definitely worth a play at 8-13, but I think I'm going to back City just to edge it.
On to Swansea versus Everton at the Liberty. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Swansea 7-4 to win the game. The draw 12-5. Everton 13-8. Enhanced odds, Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 17-5 and now 4-1. And Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 13-5. That's been enhanced to 3-1. What sort of game do we expect here, Tom? Because Swansea are desperate for those 3 points and Everton are looking to bounce back. They need some sort of response, or Koeman will demand a response after that bitterly disappointing result against Chelsea at Goodison last weekend.
Yeah, not just a bad result. I didn't think a great performance as well. There were too many players for Everton kind of off it. And I think that's the makeup of their team. When four or five of their key players going forward are flying, then they're very good. I mean, I think they gave Chelsea a bit of a game, but I think they performed under where they have been in recent weeks. They'd have wanted to give Chelsea more of a matchup, I think, and they just never really clicked for me in the final third anyway. Initially, normally when I look at a fixture, I before I start looking at sort of stats and reminding myself of results, I kind of have an initial gut instinct. And my gut instinct with this one was goals, and looking at sort of over 3.5 at 21-10, because Swansea traditionally at home this season at the Liberty Stadium have been averaging, or they've been clearing the 2.5 mark with relative ease, because they're going to concede. But of late, of course, you know they've got every chance of scoring, and their recent form has been decent enough. And Everton's away form is difficult to kind of pick up, really. They've won two of the last 15 away games, which, of course, is extremely poor. They've lost seven of those and they've drawn six, but only two of recent defeats have come in the last nine, so that they're improving. But there aren't many goals in their away matches, and I don't know how it's going to play out. They're a pretty tight team. In the last nine, they've scored 10 and conceded 9 themselves. So it doesn't suggest to me that Everton are away from home. I think they've been a little bit more conservative. And what that's done is it's caught them out in certain games. If their away record was marginally better, Everton, they could be serious challengers for the top four. But I think it's cost them because they've had a pretty negative approach away from home. They haven't sussed that out yet, but at Goodison they've been free-flowing. So I'm going to stick with my initial instinct here of goals, because Swansea have to win. They will go for it. And if they leave themselves exposed and, against the quality of the Everton attack, I think we're in for a bit of a goal fest here. So over 3.5 is my play on this one, 21-10.
21-10, over 3.5 in the goals market for Tom. I think if Swansea survive this season, Derek, they need to build a statue of Gylfi Sigurdsson outside of the Liberty, because he's the man, isn't he?
Yeah, he makes them tick, and he has a finishing product as well. I mean, he's without him, they'd be down with the two northeast sides already. But they've got a real glimmer of hope, Swansea, and their home form ain't that bad, at the Liberty. They've won six home games this season. That's only one fewer than Man United, two fewer than Man City. It's not that bad, is it? They drew at Everton earlier in the season. And Everton's away form, you've got to improve an awful lot, Tom. They played 15 away games this season. They failed to win 11 of them. And, that's against some poor teams. Won only four. Their last two matches suggest to me that they've given up for the season. They were flattered by that 0-0 draw against West Ham. They were awful that day. They weren't much better against Chelsea last week in a big, big game that should have lifted the players against the champions elect. And they gave that kind of performance. I think they've gone for the season, Everton. I fancy Swansea for me life there. I really do fancy a home win. That's where I'll be. That's where my dosh will be going.
7-4 for Swansea to win the game. Let's move on to Sunday's televised fixtures, and we'll start at Anfield, Liverpool versus Southampton. Liverpool 4-7, the draw 14-5, Southampton in the betting at 5-1. Enhanced odds, Adam Lallana to score and Liverpool to win was 13-5. That's been enhanced to 3-1, and Manolo Gabbiadini to score and Southampton to win was 7-1. That's now 8-1, and Southampton have been a bit of a bogey side for Jurgen Klopp as far as in the league is concerned. Klopp's had three meetings with Southampton and failed to win all three, drawing a couple and losing one. But Liverpool in the box seat as far as the race for the top four is concerned after their 1-0 win at Vicarage Road on Monday. And that strike from Emre Can, Derek, that game wasn't worthy of that strike. It was like seeing Helen Mirren and Leonardo DiCaprio pop up in a high school production of Romeo and Juliet. It was ridiculous, wasn't it, that strike?
Yeah, it was.
Because that game was so bad.
It was a shocker. The standard of play was diabolical. And the fact that Liverpool were outclassed by Watford, it was shocking, makes me worry about them in this game. And it wasn't just that goal, by the way. It was a volley by Adam Lallana as well. Lifted me out of my seat. They hit the bar. Two tremendous camp moments in a shocking game. I mean, Liverpool, the way they're playing, especially at Anfield, I mean, only the certifiably insane will touch them at these kind of odds. Normally that includes me, but it won't be this time around. But you look who they've lost to at Anfield in recent weeks. It's, and then they're playing against Southampton. They've met three times this season and they haven't scored a goal against them. Not one single goal. They didn't really create any chances. You know, Southampton 5-1, and they're not world beaters, but you don't have to be world beaters to beat Liverpool. You merely have to beat Southampton. I've got a funny feeling about this. Liverpool should have murdered Watford the other night. Should have murdered them. Everything to play for. Watford nothing to play for. Liverpool a good side. Watford a shocking side. And yet, it could easily have been a defeat for Jurgen Klopsman. They're not playing well enough to be back to these kind of odds, especially at Anfield, because I know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be 0-0 after about 42 minutes, and the crowd suddenly start going, oh, this is, you know, we know what's going to happen here. They'll get edgy, the players will get edgy, and Southampton will nick a goal, Shane Long, 74th minute. So I'm going to go for Southampton here.
If it's Shane Long, 74th minute, Derek, I'll, that will be something special. I'll forgive everything that's happened on this podcast this season as far as the tipping's concerned, as far as the naps are concerned, forgiven. If Shane Long pops up in the 74th minute. 5-1 for Southampton to win the game is Derek's pick. It has been a disappointing season for Southampton. That policy of selling players and then regenerating the squad, Tom, seems to have caught up with them. Even if they win their last five Premier League matches, they'll fall under the points tally they've accrued in the last two seasons.
Yeah, they will. But, I mean, I think the Southampton fans have had a pretty good few years, and even in Gabby Adina, they've managed to unearth another striker that's kind of gone not under the radar, because people obviously have known about him for a few years, but again, they've got a player who I think can score a bagload of Premier League goals. The problem they've had is Van Dijk's absence at times this season has cost them dearly. And, you know, Southampton, we were looking at them at one stage, particularly before Christmas, as being, you know, one of the best defensive units in the Premier League, which is part of the reason they had a good start to the campaign. You know, since then, it's completely kind of faded away. I mean, the last 12 away matches, they've conceded 21 goals. And you look at both these sides' goal-scoring record and conceding record. That's what this match is about now at Anfield. This is a game of which side do you think is going to concede the most? And, when you look at Liverpool with Coutinho, probably a major doubt. I mean, the way he went off on Monday night, you know, with a dead leg.
He says he's going to be fit, Tom. Well, which, that's what I've read, but I'm with you. It'd be a surprise if he's in the lineup.
Well, it would be, and he's so important to them, because I look at Liverpool almost completely differently. Now, that's not to say that somebody like Firmino comes in, you know, has proved his worth at times this season, but you know, Coutinho's the one in those sort of, you know, those tight matches. And at Anfield, I agree with Derek. I mean, you can't. You've seen it play out too often. It's a bit like Manchester United at home and draws. You know, we knew that was going to end up as a draw last week because we've seen it happen so many times. But, you know, I think Southampton could be a danger here for Liverpool. They really could. And you know, I, this is one I'm not 100% sure on the result. I mean, 4-7, Liverpool, way too short to be carrying my money. I'd much prefer, if you want to bat Liverpool, you've got to take Liverpool and both teams to score. I think when push comes to shove, there's much more on this game for Liverpool than there is for Southampton. So I'm going to edge towards that. I'd be happy with goal bets here and goal scorer bets too. But I'm going to edge with Liverpool and both teams to score 11-5.
Can I just add something on Southampton? You know, I've been saying all season long that they're criminally underpriced. Mm. Now, I've got evidence to back that up. You know, in the Racing Post today, there's a Premier League standard. And if you backed each team at the best prices available, would you be showing a profit or would you be showing a loss? Now, where would you think, so at the beginning of the season, what would you have thought Southampton would finish? Well, 9th, 8th, something like that?
Yeah,
pretty much where they are now. So you would suggest that, you know, if you'd have backed them week by week, you'd probably be level pegging, a little bit up, a little bit down. You're actually 10 quid down. Now, that's the worst showing of any team in the Premier League, apart from the bottom two. It just shows you they're underpriced every week. Mm. I don't think they are this week, by the way, but most times they are.
Very good. Thank you, chaps. Sunday, 4 p.m, Arsenal versus Manchester United at the Emirates. Arsenal 10-11 to win this game. The draw 13-5, Manchester United 11-4. Alexis Sanchez to score and the Gunners to win was 2-1, enhanced to 5-2. Marcus Rashford to score and Manchester United to win was 9-2. Now 5-1. There's a few things I want to get into here, Tom. We'll start with Marcus Rashford. His goal on Thursday night, superb against Celta Vigo, and separated the two sides at the end of the 90 minutes. And I think it says a lot about a 19-year-old that not only is he in that position, but he's taking that free kick when there's so many Galacticos, so many superstars on the, well, one in particular in Paul Pogba that you thought might grab the ball in that situation. But Mourinho's clearly entrusted him. And for him to play an under-20, a player that's under-20 in a game of that magnitude, says all you need to know about Rashford.
Well, it does. Look, he's really impressed. I was unsure about him last year, and again because I'd seen Federico Makeda and Januzaj and other players burst onto the scene at Manchester United and then fade away. The reason he's getting his chance, it's similar to Harry Kane at Tottenham. Thrust forward a little bit quicker than anyone expected and a little bit unsure, but that's because there isn't anybody else, is there? I mean, you know, Rooney's gone now, Ibrahimovic is injured, and you're looking elsewhere, you're scratching around. I mean, I know you're saying, you know, big name players, and there are some big name players in that Manchester United side, but it's still, for me, needs an absolute overhaul, because they are now pinning their hopes, you know, on a young teenager who is playing like you know, a very, very experienced player. I mean, I don't think anything phases this kid, and he's certainly somebody that Manchester United could build a team around. He'll change the way that they play, but still, you know, I'm looking at Pogba. What a disappointment he's been. I mean, like,
He did play well last night.
Yeah, he's playing well, Dave, but he's not grabbing games in a Premier League like I expected him to do. Now, when you spend 100 million quid on a player, they should be doing that from absolute day one. Now, whether, you know, maybe he's had to adapt to it, or, you know, where Mourinho's been playing him, you can make a defence for him. But I'm saying Manchester United still, you know, Manchester United fans are relatively happy, I think, under Mourinho about where things are going. The style of football they feel has improved a little bit. He's eking them slowly forward, and they're unbeaten, but they're not budging in the tail. We keep saying this every week, and they're not. Manchester United still not a thrilling team to watch, and they will not be thrilling in this game. If one match this weekend absolutely screams draw at you, it's got to be this one. And Manchester United will show no intention of going for the win. You know, some managers, Jurgen Klopp, for example, Pep Guardiola, I think they'd go to Arsenal, and I think they'd take them on. Arsenal have won, what, 3 games in the last 8 matches? I think they'd take them on. I think this is a vulnerable, you know, beast now. We can absolutely take them to the cleaners. Manchester United won't do that. You know, after the week that they've had, I think they'll, I wouldn't say necessarily be satisfied, but you know he'll be a happier manager, Jose Mourinho, if he gets the point rather than Arsene Wenger. So, you know, you're looking at, what, 12 of the lads, this 25 unbeaten run that Manchester United have been on, 12 of them have ended in draws, and I'm going for another one here. Arsenal out of form, Manchester United would settle for the point, and I think that's what they'll get.
We've got Jose Mourinho against Arsene Wenger here, of course, as well, and Wenger's never beaten him as a manager in the Premier League. Drawn 7, lost 5 is Wenger's record against Mourinho in the Premier League. A couple of points I want you to talk about here, Derek. The first being Mesut Ozil and his demands. I don't know. He must have brass balls, Mesut Ozil, because he's demanding a wage increase from £140,000 a week to £300,000 to match Alexis Sanchez. And those performances that he's put in recently, Derek, they've been absolutely disgraceful.
Well, yeah, I've said my thoughts about Mesut Ozil. I can't believe this is a guy who's a pretender. I mean, he does a few nice things in a game, but nothing effective. And all that talk about when he was at Real Madrid, he made so many assists. But we said that before. You give the ball to Ronaldo on the halfway line, and that's an assist. He's got nothing in an Arsenal shirt that makes me think he's a serious Premier League footballer. Absolutely nothing. He's one of those guys that you play with at school who couldn't get in the school team because everyone knew what he was like. But in the playground, looked great, all fancy flicks. Put him in the rough and tumble. He was useless. And I've hardly even considered for half a second paying that. Well, I mean, that club is in an even worse state than I thought. He's an absolute disgrace, Mesut Ozil.
And the second point I want you to talk about, Derek, is does that 1-0 win for Manchester United dictate your thinking in this game? Will Mourinho go and put a very weak side out at the Emirates, knowing that, I mean, they're 5-1 to finish in the top four now, Derek, and they're odds on to win the Europa League, so we know where his priorities lie.
Yeah, well, unquestionably, and he said that after the game against Celta Vigo on Thursday night, that, you know, we'd be, a lot of players would be rested. Now, yeah, it's easy to say that, and it's believable. But this is Mourinho against Arsene Wenger, and he despises him. And I'm not sure he will do that. You remember 4 years ago when he was managing Chelsea, and he played in the Champions League semi-finals against Atletico Madrid. In between that, they were going to Anfield, and Liverpool were going for the title. That was a Steven Gerrard slip match. He went to Anfield and he was saying what a weak team he was going to play, unrecognisable, blah, 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 you know, giving up the ghost. He went to Anfield and done a job, just stayed, camped at the back, and that's exactly what he's going to do against Arsenal. They won't be trying to win the game. It's got nil-nil written all over it. I mean, I don't know, I can't work out Man United. Apart from back in the draw, you never know what to do when they play. Playing on a Thursday and a Sunday is not conducive to good football, everybody knows that. But now these days are Man United. Look at Arsenal. they couldn't have taken more stick. In the papers recently, had they appointed Jeremy Corbyn as manager? I thought they had. They were looking at their recent performances. This is a match between two teams who are shadows of their former selves. Two teams who will struggle next season to get in the top four. Never mind this season. I think they're in Liverpool like decline now. These two teams. I know they've got an awful lot of money and they can make a lot of changes in the summer, but Arsenal seem incapable of doing that. And Man United have tried that, and look what happened. Nil. This screams 0-0 to me.
I tell you what, it's a big price as well. 11-1 0-0, which
massive
surprises
price.
Me. It is
massive
a very,
price.
Very big price, because we know how Mourinho sets up when he goes to. I know Arsenal might not be classed as a top side now, but one of the big six in the Premier League, and 0-0, 11-1. Derek's pick. Chelsea versus Middlesbrough, then, chaps, and Monday 8 p.m. Chelsea 2-13. The draw 13-2 with Middlesbrough 16-1. Derek, Middlesbrough's form has picked up a little bit with that win against Sunderland and the draw against Manchester City, but they're still almost certain to be relegated. And Chelsea have scored 11 goals in their last three games now. Their march to the title shows no signs of stopping.
No, I know. I mean, you know, Two matches recently against Southampton, home to Southampton and away to Everton. That sort of had banana skins in inverted commas over them. But they polished them up easily, and there's no sign of them crumbling under the pressure. You know, that's what you look for in a team like Newcastle. You know, when he was chased down by Man United and a few other teams it happened to, you look for the sign of nerves, and there ain't any in Chelsea. Tottenham closed the gap. They go out and beat Everton 3-0. I mean, that opened my eyes a bit. I thought, they ain't going to stop here. You know, it's good. Tottenham have done unbelievably well. But to win 9 on the bounce like Tottenham have done at this stage of the season and still be long, long price, a long way behind Chelsea, but 4 points at the moment, they must be absolutely gutted. I'm looking for a way to oppose Chelsea here, but I can't, because I've just realised they're playing Middlesbrough. Yet their form's picked up. They beat Sunderland 1-0, a big deal. And then drew with Man City 2-0, which on the paper looks a great result. But then you look at Man City, you look closely at Man City's recent form and results, and you know maybe that 2-0 draw has been devalued. You know, if you're going to back a 1-6 poke, and I never will, this is the one you'll have. But you know, I'm not telling anybody anything there, am I? Middlesbrough should be fighting for their lives, but I think they're too far behind now. If they were playing somebody else this week, they might give themselves a glimmer of hope of survival. But they're playing the champions, and it ain't going to happen. Chelsea will probably win this 3-0.
Chelsea to win the game 3-0, available at 11-2. Tom, your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I think Middlesbrough have just... It's been an absolute example this season of how badly sort of managed they've been, really. You know, the change of manager should have happened a lot sooner. They might have given themselves a chance, as Hull and Swansea, of course, have done. And this is a daunting prospect for Middlesbrough. This is a Middlesbrough side who were thumped 4-0 at Bournemouth just a few weeks ago, and it could have been a lot worse. I just don't think they have the sophistication, really, to go somewhere like Chelsea and cause any problems. I'm looking at teams that have scored against Chelsea recently. You know, at home, we've talked about Chelsea being leaky now. You know, Chelsea and both teams to score is a preferred bet, really, when you're looking at their games, particularly at home. But I'm looking at the sides that have gone to Chelsea recently and scored, you know, Palace, Man City, Tottenham and Southampton, who are a much bigger threat than Middlesbrough, and Middlesbrough have major defensive vulnerabilities. I'm not buying into the draw that they got against Manchester City. I'm not reading anything into that older victory over Sunderland. This is a poor side who, for me, have been destined for the drop for a long, long time, and Chelsea will... You know, the way they responded against Tottenham last week with a little bit of swagger at Goodison Park, I think they'll be determined to do exactly the same here. I'm looking here at Chelsea to win and 4 or more goals in a match at 11-8. Covers you just in case Middlesbrough do manage to get one, because I'm still not overly convinced that Chelsea will keep a clean sheet. You know, they could be 3-0 up and still concede. So I like the price of 11-8. And if you want a goal scorer here, go for Gary Cahill. He scored in his last two matches. He's got 3, I think, in his last 7 in the Premier League. And he's 6-1 any time. Middlesbrough are so vulnerable from set pieces. They're finding open play when they've, you know, they're packed out. But, you know, it's becoming more and more important for Chelsea to make use of the set piece, and they work on them more than any other Premier League side. It's why they've scored so many goals, you know, from corner kicks and free kicks. So I think Cahill, I think he's a big price there at 6-1. When you look at like Costa at 8-13, who doesn't look like he can score at the moment, but Cahill's the shout for me at 6-1.
Let's get stuck into the non-televised fixtures this weekend. Then all Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs. Bournemouth versus Stoke first. 5-4, Bournemouth to win the game. The draw 11-5 with Stoke City. in the betting at 23-10. Enhanced odds, Joshua King to score and Bournemouth to win was 11-5, now 5-2. And Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 9-2, now 5-1. And that Josh King bet could be intriguing here. He's got 12 in his last 16 appearances, and that's in this calendar year. And that's just three fewer than Stoke have overall in 2017 as well. One team in Bournemouth that are looking up the table now, and the other team in Stoke, Tom, that are looking down. And there's actually a couple of points separating the two sides now.
Yeah, and, you know, Josh King is a great example, I think, of what Eddie Howe is all about. I mean, this is a guy who was, his career was floundering. He was at Blackburn Rovers. He was doing nothing. You know, he brought him in and you know, he was always, you know, never going to start many matches. But with the injuries to Callum Wilson, another striker's not working out, it's an unbelievable goal return for a player who many thought, well, he was championship level at the very best, and a winger as well, by the way, you know, for most of his career. But now he's scoring goals. And you look at Mark Hughes and the problems he's had. Wilfred Bonny, how much has he spent? You know, Berahino as well, not doing the business. Stoke are in their slide. I mean, they made a bad start to the season. They turned it on when they needed to, and since then they've been poor, and particularly away from home. They're winless in six. They failed to score in five of those six away games, by the way. One win in their last eight matches. They're in absolutely no form, and Bournemouth have suddenly pepped up a little bit after, you know, there was a little threat for them a few weeks ago, but a couple of wins, four wins, two draws, and two defeats recently. They've won three out of the last four at home, and they've only lost to Chelsea, and they're scoring lots of goals as well. For me, Bournemouth are one of the bankers of the weekend here. You can't trust Stoke on the road, and Bournemouth have got a little bit of swagger back right at the end of the season. I think they want to finish a little bit more comfortable. You can tell the teams, chaps, that have sort of, you know, top half finish bonuses in contracts because Bournemouth are pushing for it, and I don't know whether Stoke thought they had it, but, you know, that's important. I was listening to a few ex-players this week on the radio, and, you know, they were talking about teams with apparently nothing to play for on the beach, you know, those phrases we've used quite a bit, and a few of them were saying it's far from it because, you know, the incentives now in Premier League contracts for players to finish, whether it means a lot to them because they earn so much anyway, I don't know, but I would guarantee that Bournemouth, those players will be, you know, on an even better holiday this summer if they finish in the top half, which they could well do.
5-4, Bournemouth to win the game. Derek, what do you see any value in this game?
No, well, firstly, that point that ex-players say, oh, you know, far from being on the beach. Pull the other one, lads. Everybody knows that. I mean, ex-players are going to have to say that, to stick up for their, you know, their comrades. Everybody knows that once the team's safe. I mean, what are we supposed to ignore the evidence of the last, well, every season for the past million years? Once they're safe, they give up the ghost. We've seen it. Stoke have given up the ghost long ago. And, you know, there's actually questions being asked now of Mark Hughes, who's done well in previous seasons. I think he finished eighth twice, didn't he, on the run, which is about what roughly the best Stoke could hope for. But now they're plummeting, and he doesn't seem to be able to get a tune out of his players right now. Maybe his players have listened too often to him, and it's just not sinking in anymore. They haven't beaten anybody away from the Potteries since December, and that was only Sunderland. I don't understand how they're going to go to Bournemouth and win unless suddenly, you know, Mark Hughes starts, you know, reading a new riot act to them. They're not responding to him. Bournemouth look absolute certainties in that. Yeah. And what you said is how Josh King is dead right. That there was a chance he made, like, a shot he had last week that hit the bar from the inside left position. And there's no way he'd have tried that about, you know, 3 months ago. His confidence is sky high, and it was a wonderful effort. And you can't see him not scoring here. Bournemouth all day long.
Josh King to score and Bournemouth to win. Look at that enhanced odds offer. It's available at 5-2. On to Leicester versus Watford. And Leicester are 4-7 to win this game. The draw, 11-4. Watford, 11-2. Enhanced odds, Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 7-5. That's been enhanced to 6-4. And Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 8-1. That's been enhanced to 9-1. And Leicester City have won all four of their Premier League home games under Craig Shakespeare, and they got a win away from home last weekend, beating West Brom 1-0 at the Hawthorns. One man that's turned his season around is Jamie Vardy. He's got 9 in his last 13 appearances for Leicester. Without question, he's benefited from Claudio Ranieri leaving and Shakespeare taking over. Derek, they're getting towards those sort of prices. They were last season now, Leicester City, at home against a weak club, 4-7 to win this game, Derek.
Well, they are getting close to those prices, but they're not getting close to those positions, are they? They're still, like, you know, in mid-table, just below mid-table. That's short, isn't it? this price is short. It worries me. I hate Watford. I'm always prepared to back against Watford. But I don't understand why Leicester are so short here. Seriously. I know they're playing much better under Shakespeare. We know that. They had to, really, because they'd have been in relegation trouble but for that. But I'm not sure 4-7 is any kind of price. What?
I think they'll win just because Watford are, I just think Watford are terrible.
Well, Watford are terrible, but they're only two places below, but the same number of points as Leicester. I don't know how that's happened. And Watford is shocking. I've seen them so many times this season. I think, how are this team still safe in the Premier League? But in the second half against Liverpool the other night, when they should really have given up the ghost after going behind, they should have given up the ghost. And yet they fought back and could easily got a draw out of that. So there is a sign of light there, yeah. And I can't knock back them this week, because I think they're too big to beat a Leicester side that, yeah, massive improvement under Shakespeare, but where's the mileage in it for them now? You know, but they're safe. There's no problem. It's end of the season. They're too short, basically. In a match with nothing at stake, 4-7 Leicester is way too short, so I have to go for Watford, even though I know I'll probably be doing my brains.
11-2 Watford to win the game. Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I think Leicester will win the game. Purely, you know, looking at sort of Watford away from home. I mean, at Vicarage or against Liverpool on the telly, you know, I thought they performed all right as far as they're concerned, but I didn't think Liverpool... I mean, you know, they're compact, they're tight. I thought it was going to take, obviously, a wonder goal or a big mistake for them to concede. And, you know, they've done all right, but generally their away results have been pretty poor. And, you know, remember, this is a Watford side who not long ago went to Hull City, were playing against 10 men for well over an hour and didn't even score. You know, I think that's the problem for them in this game, is I can't see Watford scoring a goal. And away from home, they've been losing by decent margins. They've not scored in their last four away matches. And 7 of the 11 away games that they have lost this season, they've lost by more than a goal. And I think Leicester will be good here for a comfortable victory. I'd bat Leicester minus a goal here at 6-4.
On to Burnley versus West Brom at Turf Moor. Burnley 5-4. The draw 11-5. West Brom 23-10. Enhanced odds, Ashley Barnes to score and Burnley to win was 3-1. That's now 7-2. I'm not sure whether I should read the next one. It's Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win. It was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 5-1. And they finally got their win away from home last weekend, Burnley, against Crystal Palace. And they'll fancy getting another 3 points on board here, because they're up against the most out-of-form team in the Premier League right now, Tom.
Why don't they just put Gareth McCauley and West Brom?
I have no idea.
Or
they
Craig
should.
Dawson or Johnny Evans or somebody else, because they've all got more chance than Solomon Rondon finally scoring. West Brom, we've said it about them, haven't we, the last few weeks. You know, their season is finished. I mean, you know,
they were the first team to down tools, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And you remember, you know, what I was telling you last week about, you know, that Tony Pulis record after 40 games. Once he reaches 40 points in his Premier League, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's barely won any matches. And, you know, I think that's, you know, most of the time that's because clubs that he's been at, that has been his primary target. Once he achieves that target, you know, he probably gets the bonuses he's due and he's pretty happy and sort of eases the players off. You know, Burnley themselves, I think Burnley are a club that still have a lot of pride about them. I don't think for a second that they, I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to be right at it as maybe they were, you know, over Christmas or beginning of the season. But you know, I think at home at Turf Moor, with a couple of games to go there, you know, I think they'll be determined to put in a performance. And I think that victory away from home will have done that. I mean, at least the people will stop talking about it. And remember this Burnley team, you know, they've got the sixth best home record in the division. They've won 10 of 17. They've only lost 5. And against the West Brom side, who were all out of shape. I'd look, you know, 2 months ago, I'd have been back in West Brom here to get a result, draw no better, plus a goal. But I know Burnley are short, but I think it's probably an accurate price given their home form, where they're at, and where West Brom are at.
I do as well. I think 5-4. I think 5-4, Derek, looks okay to me.
Well, that's the kind of price Leicester should be in my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, 5-4 looks a fair price. Well, it's more than fair price because West Brom have gone. I mean, they haven't scored, have they, in 5 games?
No.
They absolutely should never not look like scoring. Salomon Rondon hasn't scored in 19, by the way. I just thought you might like to know that. You know, West Brom have gone through this terrible, terrible run, and yet still in 8th place. How bad is this league? It's shocking, isn't it?
It's
absolutely
poor.
Shocking. And Burnley have got to win this. I mean, you know, their manager, it's hard to see Burnley giving up the goals, giving up the season
yeah.
under Sean Dyche. You know, he's I don't know, there's something about him that you'd imagine the players will still turn it on for him. I've got to go for Burnley. I can't see any other results.
And we finish with Hull versus Sunderland. Hull are 4-9 to win the game. The draw 100-30 with Sunderland 13-2. Enhanced odds, Umar Nias to score and Hull to win was 5-4, enhanced to 11-8. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 9-1, now 11-1. Defoe's falling into Salomon Rondon category at the moment. He hasn't scored for what seems like an eternity. And interesting stat here, Derek. Hull City, the only side not to score against Sunderland so far in the Premier League this season. That will change this weekend. Hull City bound to score against Sunderland. I never thought I'd see them at 4-9 this season, though, Derek.
I know. Well, you know, you could argue it two ways. You'd argue, well, yes, Sunderland are already down, and so obviously, you know, that's it down now. That they are on the beach. Or then you could argue the other way, like some pundits do when they're struggling for an argument, like I am now. You know, the pressure's off Sunderland now. Maybe they'll play with gay abandon and get a result, but that would be okay if they had any decent players, but they haven't. They're useless. I mean, they were gone by Christmas, and thank God, because we've had enough of Sunderland fighting against relegation. About time they went. Yeah, Hull will win this. I mean, their home record, the teams they've beaten at home this season, miles better than Sunderland. They've still got it all to play for. You know, it's them or Swansea for the drop, and, you know, they're in a real battle now. They're not going to make a mistake here. Can't possibly. And yeah, it goes against the grain to back Hull at 4-9, but back of the mind will.
Tom?
Yeah, I mean, Sunderland, it's like, I've just been seeing the news this morning from David Moyes' press conference, and he is just an absolute doom merchant. You know, his first week he says they're in a relegation battle. And then today he's dropped a double whammy of news. One, he's going to be here next year. He's going to take him in the Championship. And the second one is that Jermaine Defoe's got a release clause in his contract, meaning he's going to be leaving in the summer. I mean, they might persuade him to stay, but it is highly, highly unlikely. So, you know, Sunderland are a club I feel that, you know, won't even be strong next year in the Championship. I think they're going to take a few years of rebuilding, given their financial situation. So, you know, maybe, you know, Jermaine Defoe, you know, his mind has been elsewhere. I think he knew he wasn't going to be able to sort of save Sunderland again. And, look, they're just... I don't think it's something you can kind of switch off here for Sunderland, because I don't think they've played recently with a team, you know, as a team that's kind of been under pressure. They've been playing kind of with an inevitability that they were going down, and I don't think it will change too much for them. And Hull have got to feel that with Swansea having Everton, I mean, Swansea's home record, we talked about it earlier, but this weekend could be a pivotal one down at the bottom, because Hull, by far and away, have the easier home fixture than Swansea against Everton. You know, Hull are going to fancy their chances. Hull will feel this is a missed opportunity if they don't win the game. I mean, they're unbeaten at home since Boxing Day. You know, 8 of those 10 matches at home at the KCOM Stadium have ended in a victory. This will be another victory. And I'm going to back Hull here to win to nil at 13-10. It could be tight, 1-0, 2-0, but I don't think Sunderland get on the score sheet.
Very good. That brings us to the naps then, chaps. Who wants first bite? Derek, do you fancy it this weekend?
Yeah, go on. I'll have first bite, and I will go for Swansea to beat Everton 7-4.
Swansea is Derek's pick to beat the Toffees 7-4. Mr. Kerwin?
There's a few. There's nothing kind of leaping at me, but there's a few that I've been considering. I'm going to play Bournemouth minus a goal, as I did last week. The same bet. I'm going to play it, though, at home against Stoke, who don't score away.
Bournemouth minus one. I like Bournemouth as well. I like the two Bs, actually, this weekend, Bournemouth and Burnley. So if you're taking Bournemouth minus one, I'm just going to go with Burnley outright at 5-4 as my bet. So that treble, Swansea at 7-4, Bournemouth minus one at 11-4, and Burnley at 5-4, 22.2-1. That treble this weekend. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Tom, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Make sure you check us out at audioboom.com. Type in William Hill. Leave a rating and a comment on iTunes as well if you wish to do so. You can download the podcast weekly from iTunes. Check out all the Premier League betting as well by going to williamhill.com and clicking on the football page. And myself, Derek and Tom, we'll be back next weekend. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.